Hey there, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. At Good Kind, we are all about helping people cultivate the good kind of habits and holiday practices that allow them to engage with God and one another throughout the year. To learn more about us and the products we make, go to www.goodkind.shop and follow us on social media. We hope you enjoy today's episode of the Good Kind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. My name is Clayton Green, and I'm so excited that you are listening today. It means a lot that you are paying attention. If you haven't subscribed, we would appreciate that you do that, because over the past year that we've been doing our podcast, it has been really, really beneficial for me as I relate to the year and how I relate to different seasons, how I relate to different spiritual practices in my life. And I feel like I've been a little bit more present, a little bit more paying attention, a little bit more to meaningful moments all throughout the year, mostly because of the conversations we have on this podcast. And I hope that you listening is doing the same thing. If it is, subscribe, tell your friends to join you, because doing it with friends makes it even better. Am I right, Chris?
You are 100% correct, Clayton. Good things are better in community. So,
and we have become closer and closer friends because of the work that we're doing together with Good Kind. But I think that conversations we have offline, but also some of the conversations that we have while we're recording ourselves, actually are beneficial in that way as well. And I can't help but notice the fact that, like, we're talking about doing it together. Today, we're actually recording another part of the mini-series, Making Spiritual Practice Stick. And we're talking about community. We're talking about friends and how that can actually benefit your spiritual practices. I have experienced it with you and with the podcast and all these things. Say nice things about me now.
You're amazing. Here's what I bring into this. I was candidly quite nervous as we embarked on the Good Kind venture back in the day when we started doing Advent blocks, because you were such a dear friend to me that I didn't want us to start working together and then the work side of life to grow so large that, you know, this can happen, right? Like, you know, you really jive with somebody, and then suddenly when you're on the same sports team or you start a work project or do something, you're like, oh, this was really good when we were friends and didn't rely on each other. Harder. But now, well, I'm saying I brought that anxiety into it, which is unsurprising because this is the thing I bring to most situations. But I have found this has been such a healthy thing for me, like getting to know you with the encouragement and accountability and all of this and just that fun of it. It's been a ride. I've loved it. So, yeah, well, I really do appreciate you.
So, interestingly, I wasn't going to bring this up. Thank you for the nice things that you said about me, but I actually
totally unsolicited, just completely out of nowhere, unprompted.
Yeah, I'm so flattered. Thank you. I actually think, though, that to be friends over the long run as adults, really in general, but I'll say the harder part is as adults, I think you have to have something that connects you to the person that brings you back in consistency over a longer period of time. I'm friends with Brian because, yeah, we went to undergrad together, but right after undergrad, we were still hanging out, but it was partially because we started printing t-shirts together at our first business venture. We were making videos, printing t-shirts, just doing random stuff together. But that connection, then when he moved to Denver and I was in Wilmington, he was doing the design for the church I was helping plant in Wilmington, North Carolina. And so because I was connected to him over that, and then now I'm connected. So it's like, I think that regular connection has made me really, really close to him. So in some ways, I would say that, like, working together is one of the things that can tie you to someone. Also, living across the street from them, also having kids on the same sports team. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do, but I think having a connection that forces you to come back and be consistent with your time with each other can actually be really beneficial for connecting and having friends over the long run.
Yeah, I agree. Mark this 4 minutes in as the first of probably 12 quotes we're going to pull from Justin Whitmell early.
Yeah.
He wrote a fantastic book called Made for People, all about friendship. He says in there that when you make somebody an ongoing part of your schedule, something bigger happens. You make them an ongoing part of your life. And I think that's probably the key element of it is it's calendared. You're saying it's calendared because we have a common task. And that I think more often than not, that's what does it. We're going to the gym together. We're making t-shirts or whatever. But it just, when you're in somebody's presence over and over again, because it's on the calendar, you grow closer.
Yeah. Oh, and I think we'll probably end up coming back to that, because as we talk about this, I feel like there is, you know, Justin did a great job, and so many other people have done a really good job of explaining to us why community and connection to other people is important, the benefits of it, that it is helpful kind of in a ton of different ways. Let me list a couple of different ways why grouping yourself with other people is good, specifically as it relates to making spiritual practice stick, right?
Okay.
Which is what we're trying to talk about. So a couple of things that I found in reading. One, it increases variety. So it's interesting, right? When you are doing Sabbath with someone, I'm doing Sabbath, you're doing Sabbath, we both have different ways of doing it. It prompts new ideas. New ideas are helpful for consistency over the long run. It decreases errors. This is a little bit more from like medical. It was like a medical commentary on like the July effect. If you start everyone together, it actually decreases errors because there's so much thinking and conversation in the system. And so being grouped together on rounds can help physicians make less errors. So grouping together can help increase variety. It decreases errors. It increases your confidence. It gives you better feelings about the experience. It increases your feeling of a higher purpose in what you're doing, whether it's spiritual or not. Grouping together also increases consistency on any kind of task that you're doing through accountability, enjoyment, encouragement. I mean, just all across the board, it is doing things with people is so helpful for consistency. It makes me think of the phrase, if you want to go somewhere fast, go alone. If you want to go somewhere far, go together. And I think that this together thing, there's just so much information out there that says doing something together helps you over the long run.
That's interesting. I think if you had asked me to come up with a list of the benefits of togetherness or, you know, adding friends to spiritual practice, I probably would have come up with two of those, maybe three. And I think they all would have been variations of consistency. Like in my mind,
yes,
prior to this, it's been all about, well, this is the means by which I stay on it. I can't let Clayton down. He's fasting on Thursday. I'm going to join him in that because I don't want to be a heel. And that felt benefit of I do this more often when I'm doing with others is probably the one that's king in my mind. But the others seem to feed into that, right?
Yeah.
The reason I'm more consistent is I have the accountability. I have more confidence that, you know, doing it with you, there's more encouragement. Variety is fascinating. The idea of like introducing novelty in a helpful way that actually keeps you on track.
Well, I mean, think about the variety part as it comes to like prayer or Bible reading.
Yeah.
Experience you get out of Bible, I'm reading the same passage. What God says to me in that moment is different than what God says to you. It's still, but it's something that we can share, and it increases the richness of it. And like we talked about in the reward episode, increasing the richness or the experience, like the positive experience in a situation helps you continue to go forward. It makes you want to do it again. Same thing with prayer. I'm praying, you're praying. If we're praying out loud together, when I hear you pray, I'm kind of hearing your conversation. I'm learning what it looks like for me to kind of pray in that particular way. Variety. I mean, this is why like the variety piece that you get from community is what apps try to provide for you when they when they reach out to you, or the different experience you get for pressing a certain button and things like that. The variety that you get from community can sometimes be, it can be awkward, you know, it can be weird. It doesn't always work perfectly, but that variety can serve to bring you back when it is something that is calendared or scheduled that continues to bring you back.
Yeah, that's interesting. I need to think a lot more about that. Okay, so I want to press in on the other one, purpose. As a Christian, I could see that. I give a theological angle on this. Like, okay, other people are made in God's image, and so the more you're interacting with people, the more you, to quote Les Mis, the play, to love another person is to see the face of God.
Yeah.
Like there's an element of kind of brushing up against the divine with other people, but that's probably not the element of purpose that you've gotten in your research on this. How does having other people involved elevate the meaningfulness or the purpose behind a shared activity?
So this actually came from Daniel and Wynn. So he's talking about thinking together with other people. So he's not coming from a spiritual angle.
Yeah.
But he is saying when you do things together, it makes it more meaningful, right? So cook a cake by yourself.
Okay.
Cook a cake with three people.
Yeah.
It feels like there is more of a purpose in it when three people make a cake and take it to a friend for the birthday than if one person makes a cake and eats it by themselves.
So there's very sad.
You know what I'm saying? So like, yes, we have the higher purpose and meaning in spiritual practice without that, but with it as well, it magnifies it, that's kind of the whole beauty. It's so interesting that he's noticing that climbing, I think it was about Sherpas and climbing a mountain.
Sure.
Climb a mountain by yourself can be a meaningful experience. In some ways, climbing a mountain with eight friends is a completely different experience and feels like it has more of a high purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin Early says in Made for People.
Number two.
Yeah, well, let's keep this alley.
Ding!
He talks about food and he says, food alone is just a big meal, but friendships make a feast. And it's the same idea. Like,
says that's it.
Just having other people there adds meaning, adds purpose. And a lot of what we're trying to say here is, you know, those meaningful moments are better when you pause to recognize them. But even just having the three or four around does it automatically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, right? Because as we've recorded more of these episodes, I've begun to kind of get meta on it a little bit to notice that.
Yeah.
That the spiritual practice itself is good, but the spiritual practice like feeds forward on itself. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of saying a little bit of that here, where like being in community with people is itself a spiritual practice. Being in community with people helps you be more consistent with other spiritual practices. So it does kind of start to whirl on itself, where it kind of is benefiting all over. So, I mean, so then you look at who do you learn from? So in Atomic Habits, James Clear says that there's three groups that you pretty consistently learn from when it comes to your habits and your regular rhythms in your life. It comes from people that you are close to, which makes sense, like a very physical proximity, but like close friends, leaders, people who have established themselves in a particular area as an expert, and they're kind of giving commentary. You're learning from them, not just from what they teach, but from what they do. And then also from groups that you're a part of. If you're a part of a club, if you're a part of a church, whatever those people consistently do, you end up consistently doing as well. Because our habits, our daily rhythms, get in sync with the people we're close to, so friends and neighbors, the leaders that we're following and emulating, and the groups of people that we are a part of. Which one of those do you think affects you the most? And they all do, but like, which one do you kind of most easily recognize? Yeah. I get that one.
That first one, physical proximity. I don't, I will read a lot, but I don't like follow a lot of the like 24-hour news. So like just catching the tailwind of what other leaders are saying I ought to be doing and thinking. It's not that I'm more independent. I'm just a little bit more ignorant.
Uh-huh.
But I know that I find that it's pretty fair to say that my views on just about anything or my habits are pretty close to an average of the like five people I see most frequently.
Yeah.
And I don't know which direction the influence runs half the time. Like,
back and forth. Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Right. So I'm sure that you and my wife, I think probably have some of my influence in your lives.
Yep.
It's harder for me to identify what that is, but it's a lot easier for me to say, I know I do this and think this way because of Jen, because of you.
Yep.
Couple people in my small group.
For me, I think it is fun to think about the group, like the group that you're a part of and how it influences what you're doing. So I was, as I was thinking about this, you know, if you lived in Spain your whole life and you're used to a siesta, and then you come to Durham, North Carolina, and you try to keep that same rhythm, it's going to be a little bit odd. You're not going to.
Right.
And then vice versa, I have friends who live in Spain that lived in the United States for their entire lives. And the way they got there, you know, they would try to like push through, kind of continue to do their normal daily rhythms, and you can't because they close the stores, right? So it's like the group is influencing the habits. They're kind of taking the opportunity of that slower afternoon that we talked about in the timing episode, that afternoon slump, and they're leaning into the afternoon slump. over here, we try to push through it because the whole group is pushing through. In Spain, everyone's letting the afternoon slump just take them down to the pajamas, you know? So it's the group influence on our habits is pretty interesting for me there. In the fun habit, Mike Rucker, they quote Mike Rucker, and he is a sociologist that says that there are three things critical to making friends. Because if we're talking about all of this influence and how we might actually help it make spiritual practice stick, we need to talk about making friends. It was very interesting to me that he said the three things are proximity, repeated unplanned interaction, which maybe seems like the same thing as proximity, and a setting that helps us relax and let down our guard. These are the things that you need in order to help over time make friends. And we then know that those friends are going to have an impact on your habits as well. Proximity, repeated unplanned interaction, and a setting that helps us relax and let down our guards. Which one of those do you feel like is most beneficial to helping build relationships?
They all seem vital to me. I want to, you said that the first and second seem redundant to you, but this is the difference between a friend and like a work colleague. So
yeah.
You can work with somebody literally at the desk next to you. You have that proximity, but there's a script to the interaction. Like there's a pattern to it. And so you can obviously develop good friendships at work, but that what makes it friendship is that there's not some thing you need to be doing, a pattern that the conversation is following.
That actually reminds me, we did an episode back in the summer, me and Kristen, with Andrew and Jen Brown, talking mm-hmm. about vacation.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, but in the conversation on vacation, everybody's favorite part about that trip was the unplanned interaction with each other.
Yeah.
Because it was the opportunity to do something. And it's interesting that it kind of the relational piece there is really important. You know, but the three here make me think of, there's some pieces here that make me think of all the other episodes that we've done, right? So proximity makes me think of like space and environment, right? A setting that helps us relax and let down our guard also makes me think of that. Repeated unplanned interaction makes me think of timing, because when you say the word repeated, it reminds me of a word you've already said, which is calendared. So here's what I want to do for the rest of the podcast, thinking about friends, is I want to go back through the six, I think, other things that we have talked about and see how they can help us think about growing friendships, because friendship and community in itself is a spiritual practice, but also friendship and community helps us with all of our other spiritual practices, and it kind of feeds forward on itself. So let's kind of walk through the six and see how it might relate to fostering and developing community. First, we talked about easy, making something easier than you think. Is it something that you can start and finish, or at least get started in about 5 minutes? We talked a lot about forgiving yourself, making it easier than you think. What does that make you think of as it relates to community and friends? Does that apply, making it really easy?
Yeah, this is a flyer. We're hoping that these all apply. So I want to say yes.
Yeah. At least the first one, please.
Better, yeah. So I tend to think that we're generally harder on ourselves than we are on other people. Like the advice I would give you if you were struggling with Bible reading is maybe not the standard I would hold myself to.
Yeah.
So being in community, I think, is a natural way to say, like, let's take this to the lowest common denominator, partially because I'm more gracious to somebody else who's tired of reading the Bible, and I'll give them some advice that is kind of like easy entry. And then if we do that enough with each other, at some point I'll recognize, you know what, maybe the advice I'm dishing out could be useful for myself as well.
Yeah, yeah. So what the phrase that we used there was forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Forgive yourself. So, man, it is really hard in the space of friends and community. Is like, this person has friends that they go to eat with once a week. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had that. Like, that comparison game is
it's hard.
It's really hard. And it sometimes makes you miss the relationships that you do have. It was a book I read called Messy, Beautiful Friendships by Christine Hoover. She really, really points out the relationships you do have are meaningful. Don't compare the relationships you have to the relationships someone else has. So forgive yourself was a part of that chapter, and I think that applies here. I would say we said make it easy, but we said make it easier than you think. We talked about instead of making a goal to pray for 5 minutes a day, set a goal to kneel for 10 seconds a day. I think that, you know, neighbors or friends, coworkers, like, make the goal of just like interacting with them more often, asking them a question about their life and paying attention to it more often. I think if you do something like that on a regular basis over time, it will foster relationships that you didn't even expect were going to be rich, but can be rich with a little bit of consistent interaction.
It can also, I mean, you do have to kind of find something that works for everybody if you're doing this as a group. I run a lot. But when I run with other people, when I join up in one of these, like, you know, social club running settings, not everybody runs at my pace, or the fastest person there is running slower than they usually run because they're running together. And it's the same thing here. Like, when we're trying to figure out how to spur each other on to better prayer habits or fasting or Sabbath or whatever, we have to come up with something that will work for everybody in the group.
Yes.
And that will be lower. That bar will be lower than any individual person or in there would say, like, oh, I can do this. And I think that's really healthy. So, like, all right, well, it's not going to work for me because I've got a newborn. I'm like, all right, well, what can work for you? Let's all do what can work for you in this stage and start there. It gives so much more air to breathe.
Well, it even makes me think kind of conversationally, right? I mean, like, everybody wants to have like a deep conversation where you can open up yourself to someone else because of the catharsis and encouragement that can provide. But you don't have to be there right away.
Right. And you shouldn't. It's actually healthy to go there.
So if you're new to a neighborhood or new to a group of people, like, give yourself time to get there.
Yeah.
And start easier, smaller than you think. So, all right, the second one was tangible. So tangible is, like, we're super big about physical cues that remind you to do something that you're trying to do. Advent blocks remind you to do it. The gratitude on the table reminds you to do it. Like, this is the type of thing that we think is really important. But I'm struggling here, Chris. Like, what tangible thing do you have in your house that reminds you to text or call me? Like, how do we do
that? Very sweet of you. Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind when you mention that is there's something about tangible cues that actually creates the community. You mentioned Advent blocks and Graticube.
Yep.
And what they do is they draw people to one spot because of where the physical object is. Okay. So in a family, I've got a family of four.
Wow.
To cultivate gratitude, we need that little die. And that's the die does it. It's easier to do gratitude as a family because we have to literally come and look at what's on the block. That's a key way. If you're in someone's physical proximity, the tangible thing will be the rallying point.
I really like that. I've been wanting to put a bench in the front yard of my house. We have, you know, seating in the backyard of my house. We have a rocking chair on the front porch, but, like, I want to, like, have something that's, like, almost on the road to just, like, put my...
Say, like, hey, that come sit.
Yeah. Come sit right here. Pictures. I thought of this way. Pictures of friends remind you to connect with them. So I think that that's something that kind of came over my mind. Also, friendship bracelets. I think they're making a comeback, Chris. You, at least with my girls, they love giving bracelets and rings and necklaces, and they change with friends and everything. I think we should have friendship bracelets that we're exchanging with each other that say BFF.
I don't know how to make one, but I will gladly accept a friendship bracelet that you make for me. I have worn, Lottie has, what is it called? A rainbow loom, or, you know, it's like these rubber bands.
Yes.
So she's so many of these things, and all you can basically make is a loop. So she's made rings, she's made bracelets, she's made necklaces, you know, just rings of various sizes. And so when she's made some for me, I'll wear it. And I'm like, this doesn't really, that's not what I would have selected with my outfit, but I wear it and I look at it and it reminds me of her. And that's really sweet. The other day, this is maybe slightly more meaningful. We're using those chips, those little wooden chips to help us as a prayer or the fasting reminder. And we always write, you and I always write something on them for, like, this is kind of our intention for fasting for today. Is the one I used last week was, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I had to shorten it because it's a small chip, but strength to weakness. See, when I'm weak, God is strong. And that's what I wanted to remember. Well, the other day I was pulling mine out and I was getting ready to write on that. And Lottie came in. She was like, I want to write on it. So I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. I mean, say yes in advance, right? When the kid wants to be a
part of it,
I'm saying yes. So I invited her in. I'm like, let's see what she was. And she just wrote her name on it.
Oh,
and then Teddy came over and he wrote his name on the other side. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. You know, I'm fasting and I'm thinking of you guys because my spiritual practices are not something for me to strengthen myself. This is something we're cultivating together. And I like thinking of you throughout the day. So sure enough, one of the chips in the jar has their handwriting on it and it's got their names. And I just, I think that those are the sort of things that show up when you've got the tangible and the community together.
So you want me to scribble on my name on a chip for you? Is that what the take home point there was?
I would, yes.
No, I appreciate
it. To you.
Yeah. The way that we're saying it is like you should have a strategy for catching and keeping your attention on the spiritual aspects of life. And I think what we're applying here is have a strategy for catching and putting your attention back on friends and relationships that you want to connect with. I appreciate that you brought family into it because there is a tangible way to remind yourself that you want to be engaged in your home. But there are also going to be tangible things that remind you of people that are outside of your home that you want to relate to and engage with and invite to dinner or go on a walk with or whatever. And tangible things can be helpful for reminding you of that. Put a picture of your friend beside your tennis shoes that you put on to go for a walk. And when you put on your tennis shoes, you might just text your friend and ask them to go on a walk. That's the type of thing or how tangible would apply to community and friendship. But tangible gets very close to place. Like place was the third one that we did. It was, it's on an environment. It's on the physical location. Where is it matters. What does the room feel like matters. And what is in the room really matters. So we need to think about our place because place has such an impact on how we behave. So the first thing that makes me think of, I actually remember in that episode, I said there's a difference in my interaction with my neighbors if I park in the garage or if I park outside of the garage. A very small decision, mostly forced because of the stuff that is in my garage. But when you park outside of your garage, you're much more likely to sometimes, not always, see a neighbor who is also doing something outside their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that prompts a conversation. You know, if you have 10 more conversations with a neighbor over a year, I think it changes your relationship with them versus if you didn't have those 10 conversations. That's like the environment. That's the space type of thing that prompts you. And the bench in the yard is another piece there that, like, I think helps with that. When you think about friends and environment or a space, what does that make you think of and how those things relate to each other?
It reminds me that when this was a surprising aspect of recording that one, I went into it thinking that we were going to talk about space, like how do you make that little spot in your house conducive to a quiet time?
Yep.
But most of the examples you and Brian and I thought of were communal ones of worshiping together at Duke Chapel or spending time around a fire. So there is something about space that just, you know, I think space and proximity here are really hand in glove. Putting yourself in somebody else's space, and the better the space, the better. You know what I mean? Like, I had this. I have this group of guys that I'll get together with, and we get around a fire and just chat, and it's wonderful. The quality of the conversation is usually very good. One time it started raining. And so we, you know, caught an audible. We didn't want to cut it short. So we snuffed the fire out and then hustled into the garage and sat in our camp chairs there. And it was okay, but...
Oh, yeah.
Conversation
is different.
Not as expansive. Uh-huh. You know, the glaring fluorescent lights, the environment changes what I want to disclose and how I'm talking with people and the sorts of questions I ask, even though the people were the same as they were 5 minutes before.
No, absolutely. I think that stuff like that really matters. And you'll hear people talk about it a little bit more that like guys need an activity in order to be around each other.
Yeah.
Like let's play a sport. Let's watch a sport. Let's sit by a fire. Let's smoke some fire, like whatever it ends up being. Like it's either sports and fire. I'd need to be. I think it matters for everyone. It changes the dynamic of what that experience is. I will say the most challenging thing that we all have grace for each other on as it relates to place. But you said the word proximity, living closer to people, like, matters a lot. Now, I've been trying to convince you to move on my street, which would mean moving school systems and probably job change. There's a lot of different things that would relate to that. And there's a house that is going to be available, but it's just not the right time. So I'm not saying this to put pressure on you, even though I'm talking about it right now. And I'm not saying this to put pressure on Brian, even though we all want him to move to Durham as well. Actually, I am putting pressure on everyone except for the listener. For the listener, I'm okay with where you live, and that's fine. But I think that thinking about where you drive, what you drive past, because that was one of the things we talked about in the timing episode, was when you pass it more often, when you easily pass it, it makes it more likely that you are going to engage with whatever you're trying to engage with. And I remember when my friend Andrew Brown lived five houses down, and I would drive by his house to get to my house. Like, I engaged with him. We had more dinner because we were just driving right by. So are you going to move to our neighborhood or not?
I will say your, persistence, like the widow pleading her case with the unjust judge, it has not fallen on deaf ears. We are more warm to it now than we have. I'd love to live in Durham. We lived in Durham once. They say, Durham, the tagline is, it's not for everyone. And I think that's just the right kind of, we're a little too cool for everybody else vibe that I would love to be a part of.
Yeah.
Plus, I would love to see you all the time.
Thanks for telling me that I am cool enough to live here, Chris. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Brian feels the most Durham of all of us, which is, it's funny he doesn't live there, but I guess Denver is also a very hip place.
He actually has surpassed Durham a little bit. So, all right. That's
place, Brian.
So the next one was timing. Which we got really meta on. I mean, it was just like living in time. James K. Smith really helped us.
What does it mean? That? Yeah.
Yep. We talked about the rhythms of day, rhythms of the year, and temporal landmarks, how when you pass certain days, it does things to you. So this makes me initially think of holidays as those temporal landmarks. So, when are you going to be around people when there's a really good experience or opportunity in order to engage with other people that could become friends or that you're trying to develop community with? And the things that immediately come to my mind are the Super Bowl, July 4th, Labor Day, Memorial Day, my birthday, Halloween, when you're knocking on everybody's doors. So I think that those types of things are really important to capitalize on when you're trying to foster relationships and friendships and community. What does it make you think of as it relates to community?
Two things. One, we've been doing this thing with these prayers that we've been sending out.
Yep.
Little bite-sized prayers, which if you haven't done it yet, if you're listening, go to our website. You can get some very, very solid free prayers. We'll mail them out to you. They're fantastic. The point of the prayers is to take each season and recognize a moment and kind of catch it and capture the beauty of what God might be doing in that specific moment. Some of them are very, very big. Some are very mundane. But our belief is that, like, God is doing something. But almost all of them, I think all of them are intentionally supposed to be done as a group. So it's, there's a prayer for a meal with friends or a prayer for sitting together around the fire. And the idea is there's something almost, we all sense this, right? There's something almost holy when we are all together and some shared experience is happening. And what makes it actually holy is pausing to say, do you see what God is doing right here?
Yeah.
And so I think, like you're saying, recognize the timing that we're all going to be together and add just a dash more intentionality to it to make it a meaningful moment. And it can be those prayers we do, but it could be as simple as like pausing when you recognize everybody's all together and saying, guys, the last time, I love when people do this. Did you know the last time we all got together was what,
right. Yep.
Those like that makes the moment feel special. It brings your attention to the togetherness and the timing. It makes me more likely to remember even that moment as well as the one they're calling back to. So
no, I just,
that's where mine goes with it.
Yeah, and those things are truly meaningful. We're both talking there a little bit more about like annual rhythms and seasons and meaningful moments.
But sure.
When it comes to the day, I actually, you know, it makes me think of meals and evenings. So we're particularly when the weather is good. Right now, we are experiencing a flurry of relational activity in our neighborhood that you should move to, where everybody's like out because it's cool. Like kids are playing. It's really, really fun. And just like making sure that I have mentally like setting aside a little bit of that time, that there are going to be people walking and outside and playing with, and like that's an opportunity to engage relationally, to foster that community and those friendships. I think making sure you pay attention to that, eating lunch after a worship gathering, doing something right after a soccer practice. I mean, I think taking those transition moments where you're with people, that you're going to something else, and trying to every once in a while capitalize on those things, I think is a way to think about timing as it relates to friends and give yourself a little bit of a boost on the friend side of things because of what you're doing and the rhythms of your day and your week.
And I'll just say this, we don't make time for that sort of interaction more often than not. And so when it comes to friendship and timing, the key action step for most people might be create more margin so you have the space for this sort of thing. Because if you don't make the time for a lunch after church, like we're moving too fast, we're too isolated anyway.
Well, that's in that timing episode, we talked about something called habit stacking. Where it's one good thing is already happening, can you add something else to it? And that's what made me think of it, where it's like, if you're already with a bunch of people and then you're all going to go eat somewhere.
Right. Well, why not do it together?
That's habit stacking. It's like, we're together. Let's do this next thing together, you know? And it actually doesn't even, you know, creating more margin in your life can be like a stress inducing thought, but sure, in some ways I'm saying like, you're already doing it. Like, you're with people, you're going to spend time eating. Why not eat with the people that you're with? I think those are some things to consider that are like little tiny small steps that over a long time can have like a really, really strong benefit because it keeps you coming back over and over and over again. So that after timing, we talked about rewarding, which almost the entire thing on rewarding is what small incentives do you put into the system in order to make you want to come back again and again and again? It's like the why they put minty flavor in your toothpaste is because it makes your mouth feel clean and you want to come back over and over and over again. So it's really interesting when you think about friends and community related to this. And it made me think of, we had friends that used to live in Durham. They've moved away now. Matt and Jen Rice, I'll just throw their names out there just in case you know them or you, yep. Somebody else listening to us.
Love you guys.
They had, they have family kind of phrases. And one of their family phrases was fun or we're done. So I'll say, I said it slow so you can hear it, but fun or we're done. So essentially they had a philosophy that if you were not fun to hang out with, they're done hanging out with you.
Pretty brutal.
And it is a little bit brutal. But if you think about friends from a rewarding standpoint, trying to force a friendship with someone that is not fun to be around, or you don't have a good relationship with, can be something sacrificially that you should consider doing because everybody's made in the image of God. Yeah. But if you're trying to increase your relationships in general, maybe doing it with someone that you enjoyed hanging out with is a little bit better. You seem a little bit uncomfortable by my analogy here.
I think I'm super fun. So I'm not personally concerned.
Yeah, you are super fun.
Thank you. Thank you. But it does kind of make me nervous to have a policy of saying, you know, to give people permission to just cut folks out of their lives that they consider boring. I will say this, though, knowing Matt and Jen, they are such fun people that for them to like, they carry the weight of that. So really,
what
I'm saying is just ride our wave. If you're not willing to ride our wave, why are we doing this together?
And I think that's a very healthy adjustment to what I was saying and a good application for them as people as well. But it's like putting the effort in to bring people into what you feel like is fun makes it that way. I think that's neat.
Well, I will say it this way. You know, we talked about accountability is a key element of why friends help in spiritual practices. But for anybody listening, you probably have this experience too. Accountability or accountability partners evokes like really negative feelings for Christians. It's serious. You get together, you might have a list of questions, and you talk about your deepest sins, maybe a sin struggle. It's pointed. It is like maybe going to the dentist or something. Like, I know I need to do this, but I don't enjoy it. I don't like it beforehand. I don't like it during. I don't feel good after, but I got to do it. And Brad Hambrick, the counseling pastor at the Summit, often says that we really need to broaden what we're doing with accountability to make it, like you're saying, more rewarding. Mm-hmm. And people will want to enter into it. So instead of just asking the diagnostic questions about when's the last time we looked at something bad online and, you know, show me your bank statement. Are you tithing? incorporating other questions like what's bringing you a lot of joy these days?
Yeah.
And which relationships are you most excited about? What are you looking forward to the next month? Things that like, these are friendship building questions and they bond people. And they don't feel like a trip to the doctor like this. That asking questions like that in a relationship, it can be very rewarding. And it's still just as spiritually enriching.
Yeah, I know. And there's that is a more holistic way of looking at that. There is a good to having those diagnostic type questions, but they don't have to be separated from the other encouraging relational side of things. And
right.
Encouraging, fun, experiential, relational side of things that'll keep you coming back over a long time. You can do a hard accountability group for 6 weeks, and I'm sure there are people out there that'll tell you they've been doing that hard accountability group for 6 years. But I receive good correction from Brian, and we've been doing fun, non-hard relational time. But there is an appropriateness and a little bit more kind of direct way of speaking. You can't only go completely to only fun and no depth, but that doesn't mean that the pendulum has to swing the other way. And thinking about this from a perspective of making your habits rewarding says, like, let's find some middle ground in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad's actually got a book coming out soon. It's like about 7 questions to ask to deepen any friendship.
Really?
And yeah, because to try and say, like, look, you could do more here. So there's simple questions. That one, like the diagnostic one, is like, what's wrong? Like, this asking somebody to confess, but you should pair it with questions like what's good, what's stuck.
We should take those 7 questions and put them on a piece of wood and roll it across the table.
Actually, not a bad idea.
We have our collaboration opportunity there.
Yeah.
So the last one after timing was playful. Your practices, spiritual practice should be simple and fun enough to invite other people into it. And often it means inviting your kids into it. And as we were having that conversation, we actually noted and got really excited about the fact that play in and of itself is a spiritual practice, because thinking about community even more specifically, in order to play, it requires a certain people and a certain place that you feel safe being vulnerable in, because vulnerability is necessary for that type of silly play that we were talking about. But also, when you're experiencing that, it is taking your self-control, your self-worth, your kind of like external posture of how good I am, and you're laying that down, and it fosters humility in yourself. So if you did not listen to the play episode, you can tell right now that I'm very excited about it and you should go listen to it. Because in some ways, Chris, like this one, I mean, playing with friends, playing a sport, singing songs, doing silly stuff together, it fosters those relationships, but you have to have those relationships in order to do that. And we kind of see how the environment with friends is something that is actually so good for a holistic life.
Yeah. I don't know what I can add to that other than saying yes and amen. I think play, yeah, I've been thinking about this since we were recording it. Play and silliness can be really hard for some people.
Uh-huh.
So I like trying to imagine what a baby step would be for everybody here might be really useful. You know, you don't have to be the silliest person that you know to be able to be slightly more vulnerable and playful. For instance, the other day, our power went out briefly on our street. So Jen went, we got the flashlight and, you know, we got the flashlight out to get to see, and the power came back pretty quickly. But we were like, oh, this is fun with the flashlight. So Jen had this idea. We turned the lights off and we asked Alexa to play some Christmas music because we had power again. So in the dark, she just pointed the flashlight at each person. She says, all right, when I shine the flashlight on you, I need you to dance. That was it. And we were listening to, I don't know, All I Want for Christmas Is You. And she had pointed at Teddy and Lottie and me and herself. And just for like 10 seconds, we're doing a silly little dance. But it's like, okay, I think anybody could do that, you know?
Yeah.
You could do your hitch thing and just go left and right. And you're like, this is my dance.
Look, this is where you live.
Where you live. Yeah. Or you can own it and do this, you know, do the snake and spins and kicks and whatever. But like, it was beautiful. It was my favorite part of that day. And it was playful, and it made us loosen up and it connected us. So
yeah, I mean, that
more of that,
the connection that you get from play is so I'll do the kind of small, easy, small step someone can take. And it comes directly from that episode. You already mentioned it. Say yes in advance to the meaningful moment. If you are a person, whether you enjoy being silly or you don't, I think committing to yourself, when I am with people that I want to be friends with and someone suggests doing something silly, I'm going to try to do it.
Yeah.
And commit ahead of time that I'm going to do the thing. There are tons of my friends. There are tons of people I know that if Jen shot a light on them, they would not dance. And I think I would say, just wiggle your shoulders a little bit.
Just a little something, yeah.
Because it actually will give you more of what you want when it comes to relationships. So it's say yes in advance to the playful moment. Say yes in advance to being a little bit silly when you're in a space with people that you feel comfortable being silly with, and kind of push yourself in that. Say yes in advance. And then the second one is follow the fun. And in that episode, we talked about how that means often following your kids. I already mentioned this once, but when our girls are playing football in the street, it's a little bit dangerous, but they're doing it. Like, I'm getting out there with them. I'm following them in that. And it gets me connected to the other kids that are on the street. It gets me connected to their parents on the street. Now, a lot of the parents don't play. I would say more parents should play, even in the kid game. Not always. There are other things that you have to do. But I think following the fun, when there is fun, go to it, run to it. Because that's where, if you follow the fun, that's where you find relationships often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one seems more intuitively tied to friendship and relationship than any of the others. I don't actually know if you could do play. You could play a game by yourself, but this one is like playing in its very essence is about you and other people together. So,
oh yeah,
just do it. Just get out there and play. We're really high on play right now.
Point one, say yes in advance. Point two, follow the fun. Point three, have game nights. That is a super easy step in this direction. So, all right. So that's the six that we've already done. We're doing friends right now. So this is the last episode that we have planned to do in terms of
seven. Seven is a good number. We should land it at seven.
We should land it. So, but what I love about kind of circling back on that is that's how we want all seven of these episodes to be used, right? Going through all of those different categories prompts us with ideas for how to help us be more consistent with our spiritual practices. Because being more consistent with our spiritual practices, we believe over the long term, God will do something amazing when we are engaging with Him and engaging with others through our spiritual practices. And so a little bit more consistency with a small little prompting of an idea from one of these categories can go a long, long way. Now, I didn't write all these down, but you want to make it easy, which means lowering the bar for the conversation, lowering the bar for the duration of what the relational connection looks like. Just get out there and do it a little bit more often. Tangible. Put pictures in your house or wear a friendship bracelet of a friend.
Yes.
That reminds you to reach out to them. Place. Set up your living room or your neighborhood or your office in order to invite conversation. When you're passing people, try to engage with them and make sure that you include sports and fire. For timing, try to habit stack. If you're already with people and you're going to dinner, why not eat dinner with those people, right? And temporal landmarks, like use the holidays. If you're trying to develop friendships, use the holidays. Rewarding, make sure that you are having fun and that you enjoy having fun with people. And of course, we just nailed playful, and we could talk about it for another 15 minutes. Like, when there's play happening with people, have a game night, have fun. You don't have to do all of them, right, Chris? But if you take one of those and you make a small tweak in how you are in offering yourself to engage with other people, I bet in a year you have closer relationships with those people because of that small little tweak that you made. That's how we want to use this, right?
100% agree. Yeah. This is the sort of thing where you can start anywhere. So, you know, you've listened to all seven of these, or you've started with this, go back and listen to the others. Pick one, pick something here where you're like, okay, I bet I could do that. I could do the playful thing. Let me see what it looks like to say yes in advance to my kids when they want to play, or, you know, I'm gonna put that bench in my front yard. Like, just pick one, take that small step. I think there's a lot of fruitfulness here for people. And like you mentioned, some small things today, it's going to yield some great things a year from now.
And for us as well. So thank you for listening today. If you haven't, go ahead and subscribe, invite a friend. That's a very good step to and do this with someone else. Invite them to listen and subscribe as well. In the new year, we're going to be continuing to do our monthly podcast. We're also going to continue to talk about spiritual practice. Chris and I are going to talk about different spiritual practices, Sabbath, prayer, Bible reading. What does it look like in order to do those consistently, and what are different ways that you can do all of those things? So we want you to be there. Thank you for listening today. Take a small step, and we'll see you next time on the Good Kind Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Good Kind Podcast. We hope you leave feeling more equipped to engage with God and one another in your habits and holiday practices. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, like, and comment. We're excited to share more content with you soon. Don't forget, you can find us online at www.goodkind.shop. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the Good Kind Podcast.